This episode of the Concierge CPA is brought to you by TaxPlan IQ. We have a spinoff product coming straight to taxpayers near you. Look in the show notes how to get involved in our wait list. It's going to be revolutionary. Take care, y'all. Welcome to the Concierge CPA. I'm Jackie Meyer, founder of the Concierge Accountant Program and TaxPlan IQ software. This is a podcast for accounting firm owners and influencers who are pursuing world-class service. We discuss their path to excellence, their daily habits, and what influences them and their work. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. Stick around till the end of the show. We'll reveal how you can be our next guest. Let's go, y'all. Welcome to the Concierge CPA podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Meyer. I have not one, but double the trouble CPAs turned software developers. I mean, what's up with that? Who would do that? Not me, right? So I want to not butcher last names. This is a tough one. Tom Zehetner.
Perfect. Nice.
Yes. Wow. And Jesse Rubenfeld.
Yes,
welcome,
ma'am.
Welcome, guys. So you're both at FinOptimal. What is FinOptimal? Tell me about you and what you do.
Jesse, it's your company, so I'll describe it. How about that?
Sounds good. Go ahead.
FinOptimal started as an outsourced accounting firm in 2015. Jesse was a CFO and a controller that taught himself to code because doing stuff manually is horrible.
Yeah.
And built a great catalog of apps that work in and around QuickBooks Online. And last year, we started releasing those apps as standalone products. So still have a full service accounting practice, which we really use as like our R&D testing bed. But our focus is how can we get these apps in the hands of more accountants so they can stop doing accruals manually, stop doing journal entries manually, stop doing reporting manually. So yeah, we're in this really cool transition phase.
Love it. Love it. Okay. And how is it going so far in this new world? I can tell you it's not. From my perspective at TaxPlan IQ, it's not nearly as sexy as you think it's going to be to get into software development. Is that the vibe y'all have gotten?
I don't know. Everything is, you know, any sort of startup, it's a roller coaster. One day you're going to be take over the world. The next day you're like, is this how good is this actually?
Right.
So I love it, Jesse. I don't know. It's been more fun the last year than I could ever imagine.
That's awesome. Yeah. You're good. What do you think, Jeff?
I guess I would say that we were a software company first. I was a programmer before I was an accountant.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so it just felt like this was us trying to capitalize on some stuff that we're building and only sharing internally with our own accountants.
Yeah.
Now we're trying to give it, you know, share it with more accountants.
Those tend to be the best products as long as you stay afloat, right? Like some of the other accountants that release products. So yeah, I mean, I did the same thing, but I sold my CPA firm in the end of 2022. I do miss it kind of because it is fun for it to be kind of your R&D project and to be in front of the taxpayers. Now, before we dive in further, I have to mention, Jesse might look a little tired because he's got 4 children under 5. So forgive him. How did this happen, Jesse? Tell me about your life.
Oh, my God. Listen, COVID, let me tell you, there was just nothing else to do during COVID.
I was going to say, well, when a mommy and a daddy really love each other a lot.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Now I'm blushing. Okay. Oh, yes.
I mean, I figure, like, how long until I can train them on doing bank recs?
Right.
It can't be that much longer, you know?
Well, so yeah. You got a couple, well, a few more years.
Everyone knows it's hard to hire accountants right now. So, like, yeah.
What's cheaper than outsourcing?
Job.
Child labor.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So once they hit 7, as your tax strategist now, I've just nominated myself. You'll hire all those children to help you work. You'll pay.
Well, like, hey, you want a car? Oh, yeah, we can make that happen. Yeah. You know, 20 hours a week will get you there.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Now, Jesse, you went to Columbia, and one of my newest but very close friends is Harsh Modi, who created CPA Pilot. It's a tax research bot based on ChatGPT-4. And him and I let y'all in on the secret. We're working on kind of a secret side project for taxpayers right now. But y'all weren't in the same class, but you did know each other. That's pretty cool.
think so. I think, yeah, I think we were both in this at the same time. I think we graduated around the same time.
Okay, awesome. At Columbia, right?
Yeah. Okay. This was for business school.
Nice.
I think that what he's doing, I think that tax research is a great application in AI. I think it's a great fit.
For sure.
It's going to save a lot of people a lot of time and money.
Yes, hopefully. And Tom, what's your background? How did you and Jesse align?
My freshman year college roommate tricked me into getting lunch with him and then sold me on Finoptimal. That's the crash course. I started my career in audit at a company called Protivity. Got kind of involved in automation there, doing a lot of RPA stuff. Really found a liking for that. Mm-hmm. Moved over to WeWork when they were kind of hitting their stride.
WeWork, wow.
Lived through all of the fun parts, the ups and the downs. And I was happy there. It was an awesome place to work. Like, even when you were on the verge of bankruptcy at any moment, I like legitimately loved going there because they had such a great culture. Wow. And then, yeah, I went to lunch one day and my friend was like, hey, I'm working at this company, Finoptimal. This is what we do. Would you ever be interested in a sales role? I was like, I don't know. The next day he demoed me a piece of software and I was like, all right, fine. I'll talk to Jesse.
Jesse could be a better fit.
One day. And then the next week I had an offer letter. So it literally fell out of the sky. And it was like someone threw me a life vest when I didn't even know I was drowning.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay,
yeah.
I kind of want to re-interview you just to dissect the WeWork culture thing because there's so many case studies on that and how almost like he spent so much on culture that it took it to bankruptcy in a way. But we'll circle back to that another time. Okay,
You could have me on. I'll do 45 minutes.
Okay, sounds good. And so tell me about the products that y'all have been creating. You have a new one that's coming out. I don't know how much of a secret that is at the moment or what you want to say about it.
I'll talk about it because I talk about it
all. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So, you know, we've built all of these apps. I say we. Jesse's built all of these apps that solve unique pain points in and around QuickBooks Online. Mm-hmm. And the challenge was like, what are we going to put out first? And what are we going to put out second? And what are we going to put out 12th? Because we have this deep, deep catalog. So Accruer is what we put out first, because mm-hmm. what we found is that you want to have GAAP financials, you want to have accrual financials. You can't really do it in QuickBooks Online. You can do memorized transactions, but there's so many pitfalls. You can use spreadsheets, but they're error prone. And Accruer, the first app we launched last year, in plain English, you can write in QuickBooks, this expense is for the period of April 12th to July 11th. And boom, in seconds, it's going to calculate and book everything exactly as it's supposed to. So prepaids, deferred, and fixed assets was the first app we released. We followed it up with a journal entry booking tool, Google Sheets to QuickBooks Online, sync it, keep all your support in the same place. And our next tool is going to be our reporting tool, Wrangler. So we're slowly releasing all of these different products to tackle all of these different pain points that the people that we're working with and, you know, the apps that we use every day to make our lives a lot easier.
Okay. And how has the accounting market been for you? Have they really kind of embraced? Have you had a lot of early adopters?
That's a great question. I think a lot of people in accounting say they're, I'm tech enabled and like I'm forward thinking. No one wants to jump first, mm-hmm. right? So like we've seen such a snowball effect mm-hmm. of, you know, everyone's interested, but they're so skeptical because it's like, can it really be that easy? Yes, it is. And now we have all of these people who are very respected posting about it. And all of it, like this traction is just growing and growing and growing. So they were definitely a difficult market to sell to at first. Mm-hmm. But it's such a community-based, you know, the accountants are so community-based that once you start getting a good reputation and people start to trust you, I feel like everything else just falls into place.
Jackie, I think you pointed something out also about how a lot of I think one reason accountants are hesitant is that some of these software companies just go away very quickly. Mm-hmm. And then when they put their clients on the software platforms and then the software company goes away, the accountant has some egg on their face, right? So I think there's reasons beyond the product itself that make it harder to gain traction. But you know, I think using it on our own clients and accounting firms that adopt our products know that we're using these products on our own clients, you know, that we have a revenue base beyond the software business gives them some confidence that we're going to be here in a few years. We're not just going to show up at Scaling New Heights with a booth and then disappear because we ran out of money.
So good plug, you know, for Scaling New Heights. So they will be at their very first booth at Scaling New Heights summer 2024. I'll be speaking there, a 2-hour workshop. So exciting, right? On tax advisory, but it is. I love it. I'm passionate about it. So come. But go see them too. Your first booth is really hard. So go give them some love.
Please stop by.
Yeah. So tell me more about the new product that's coming out. You said financial reporting.
Yeah. So Wrangler, Jesse, I'll let you talk about it because you're just knee deep in the rework right now.
Yeah, I mean, so Wrangler is a product that is a QBO to spreadsheet application. This is a product that we've been using for our own clients for years now. And when Tom says, you know, Jesse's working on the rework, as with the Crewer and Booker, we often have to constrict the feature set of the products that we release so that an accountant who's not been trained by us internally to use all of these tools is more likely to be able to adapt to it quickly. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be the first QuickBooks to spreadsheet product in the market, but we think we have a unique spin on it. We've been using it in some ways that we think are different from some of the big names that you would recognize, but that I will not mention right now. And I'm very excited about, you know, in particular, some of the power users, the people that really like to build a bookkeeping system that they're proud of, mm-hmm. that they want to talk about. You might call them influencers. You might call them nerds. I love them either way. But they're going to incorporate Wrangler. I include my, look, I wasn't nerdy enough as a software developer, so I had to become an accountant too.
Right.
but they're going to be able to incorporate Wrangler into workflows that not only give them reporting, but also feedback into Booker and some of the other products we'll release even further down the road to create a consolidated system, a real substitute for expensive ERP.
Okay, awesome. And you mentioned you kind of confine each product to make it easier for the accountant. Is it mostly kind of self-service onboarding experience? Has that changed at all as you've kind of evolved?
Great question.
That's definitely the goal. Oh, Tom was going to talk. Now he gave me the floor and now he can't get it back. It's upsetting. It's all right.
No, we'll battle
just
for the
a
mic.
Minute. Just
care.
A minute. Okay.
I'll just keep talking over you. This is good for Jack's audience.
Hey, go ahead. This is no, let him do it. All right.
This is what our podcast is. It's just two guys talking over each other for 40 minutes.
I like it.
No, I mean, that's a great question though, Jazzy. Like when we launched the product, like we were like, yeah, people will just go on, sign up, put their card in and they're off to the races. Uh-huh. But you have to learn, you have to watch people use it, right? So right. Jesse and I personally onboarded the first 10 or 15 people. Then I personally onboarded the next 50, 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is self-service.
Okay.
So like we've learned how we had to watch people mm-hmm. use their mouse. Where are they clicking? How are they reading the screen, right?
Yeah.
So you have to pay attention as much as you think you'll build a perfect app, like bridging the gap of how you think about it and how you talk about it has, that was a challenge. But yeah, now it's self-service. And we have people just adding like hundreds of their clients at a time, mm-hmm. which is great.
Tom's being a little bit humble. Part of the experience of building this product and releasing it, going from strictly an accounting service to a software service, is learning how to put documentation and lots of, let's call them road signs.
Sure.
When you're signing up, hey, this is your first thing. Click here and let us show you a quick video. Mm-hmm. It's also being responsive to obvious points of confusion and quickly updating the product. Hey, change the website. Don't make it say this. It's people aren't getting it. Mm. So it's an iterative, constant battle.
For sure. Yeah. That's awesome. I love that you kind of learn from the experience to get them to self-service, because you're right. A lot of us assume everyone's just going to take and run with it and you're just hoping that that's all of your market, but it's not the case unless you really craft the product to their liking. So that's neat. Jesse, you were the CFO at LimeWire before the days of music streaming. That's really interesting. How old are you?
45. I was, I am an accountant really because of that job. I was a senior and I found a job on monster.com.
Wow.
Working for the guy who owned LimeWire.
Wow.
And I submitted an application and one day he just called me. You know, this is so, Oh, you mean from LimeWire? Like LimeWire? He's like, yeah, that. And, you know, we had a conversation and he said, you know, do you want to come interview here? I said, yeah, what do you need? He said, I need an accountant. I said, all right, I'll be an accountant. I went to New York and I started working for the controller and CFO there.
Wow.
And over time, you know, I tried to automate my job and take on more work. And that became sort of the story of my career and how FinOptimal got started. How can I get more accounting work done with less time to free me up to do other things?
Mm-hmm. And then you started your own firm. Was it, did you say 2015?
Yeah.
Okay.
I started it while still having a day job. And, you know, I took a few clients here on QuickBooks Online.
Mm-hmm.
This was around the time Intuit was really starting to expand their API. And, you know, over time, at first I would write custom code so that each client's bookkeeping system would be perfect. And then as I started to accumulate enough clients, I started building products that I could easily take from one client to the next without having to rewrite the whole thing.
Mm.
And that's sort of how we got from just, you know, that's how we started becoming a product company. Hey, I want to use this Booker, this Accruer, this Wrangler for this client the same way I write the first few that I built. I wrote a custom Accruer
mm-hmm.
for that client. I wrote a custom Booker for this client.
That's super.
And then I thought, well, that's not very scalable. How do we build on
this? Yeah. So
Jackie, you asked how I got here. I forgot the LimeWire piece was a tipping point for me.
Okay.
When I looked at Jesse's LinkedIn and I was like, all right, Penn, Columbia, he's smart. LimeWire. All right, now this guy's kind of cool. Let me talk to him.
Because okay.
Not to date myself, but I remember being about 7 years old and like downloading legal music off of LimeWire.
Right.
And that was my favorite.
Can't believe you're
saying
that on the air.
So, yeah, what are they going to do? Statute of limitations. I'm not 14, so they can't come get me. I have no idea how long it actually is. But, I mean, Jesse, the LimeWire thing, too, like, you know, our biggest investor was the founder of LimeWire, right? So we still have LimeWire's in our DNA, for sure.
Wow. Okay, very cool. Okay, let's kind of switch gears a little bit. Y'all obviously have so much combined knowledge in this area. I could ask you so many questions, but I want to kind of hone in on what you really think are the biggest challenges for accountants right now. We all have a little bit of a different spin, but it tends to come back to the same things, same kind of few things. Tom, do you want to start?
Sure. You know, I think that's a tough question because different generations of accountants, I think, have different challenges,
mm-hmm.
right? Like the challenges that are faced to, you know, so to me, it's like everyone talks about the accounting shortage. I think like overall, accountants are so risk adverse. Like everybody who is an accountant is very, very risk averse. They're afraid to try new things.
Right.
And that's one thing about Jesse that like really stood out to me when I interviewed with him is he's like, you're going to get stuff wrong. Try stuff quickly, take small steps, don't be afraid to break stuff. It's going to be okay. And that to me, I think is a big challenge in the accounting community holistically, right? Like we don't pivot mm-hmm. quickly when in the face of adversity, right? And what I mean by that is, well, we've been doing this process for so long. Well, what if you did it this way? I can't do that. It would take too much for me to change all of those things. So I'm just going to stay in my ways. And I think that kind of mentality permeates the industry top down. It's not just about process for actually doing accounting. It's not just about, you know, how do you hire and promote? I think people just get, so stuck in their ways and they don't change quickly enough. So that to me is like the overarching thing that I think is like the biggest challenge for accountants generally is like changing that mindset of mm-hmm. it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to try new things, try them quickly. You're going to be wrong, but you're going to find something that's right. And that's going to bring you to the next level.
For sure. Yeah, that's good advice and feedback for sure. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an astute point that different generations are facing different challenges. When I think of people coming right out of, let's say, a master's program, you know, or have 2 or 3 years, I think their biggest problem is how much money do I want to make right now?
Mm-hmm.
And it's impossible to find people, at least domestic people that are, you know, native English speakers and can, you know, hit the ground running in an accounting role. you know, I do think that the profession is changing. I think it's become a much, much more, being tech savvy, being interested in the tech mm-hmm. has become much more of a requirement, mm-hmm. right? I think a lot of the financial controls, if I had to sum it up, historically, I think you really relied on your accountant, your controller, right? Grizzled entrepreneurs that are 60 and 70 years old will tell you, like, listen, hiring's tough, but just make sure you find a good controller. Like, I depend on that control.
Yeah.
Because the controller's a controller. Like, they're enforcing financial controls that now, by and large, are mostly electronic.
Mm-hmm.
Not entirely. You still need some, you know, an adult in the room, so to speak. But, like, we're going from needing somebody who is inherently, as Tom says, risk averse, somebody who's meant to slow down the outflow of cash, right?
Yeah.
Just somebody whose job it is to more quickly, more dynamically, more in real time, turn around reporting, figure out where money's being wasted, touch the more strategic piece of the business. And I don't just want you to do my books and ship the tax return. I want you to tell me, I want you to help keep me from flying blind. And so I think the role of an in-house accountant and to some extent tax advisors as, you know, trusted advisors are, new things are being asked of them and new skills are required to deliver on it. So it's a shame, you know, maybe mm-hmm. these are too many cliches, but it's real.
Yeah. What do you think it is, Jackie? Like, in your opinion, what's the biggest challenge for accountants these days?
Well, I would agree with you, Tom, being, you know, going from accounting to software developer, you know, you see that gap of, you know, the missing early adopters, the ones that get stuck on one tiny aspect of a ethical loophole or something as to why they can't use your product. And it can be frustrating from our side. I think if I was still running a firm, I would be most worried about the staffing shortage. That's one of the reasons I ended up selling my firm. We saw the writing on the wall. We were very profitable. I mean, 45% net profit margin. We specialize in tax planning and high net wealth. But our staffing costs, like, were skyrocketing after COVID. I think people cost 30% more than they did pre-COVID. Here, you know, anywhere across the nation is what we were looking at. And so I was worried about that. And I wanted to, you know, cut my losses there. What do y'all do about that? How do you look at it with supplementing technology? How do you look at staffing? Do you tend to, y'all are in two different parts of the nation. So I guess your team is virtual, I assume. Tell me, no? Okay, tell me
not
how that
actually,
works.
Actually, yeah, we're there's two home bases, Brooklyn and Houston.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so I think, like, you know, we have a very small accounting team for a large accounting firm. Like, I think relatively speaking, and it's really about the balance of people, process, and technology. And maybe that's cliche, but in our opinion, right, like, outsourcing does have a place. Right?
Mm-hmm.
A full-time in-house accountant onshore with a CPA has a place. Technology has a place.
Mm-hmm.
How you marry those is how you're going to either succeed or fail. Like, I see people over-leverage themselves on offshoring mm-hmm. and their work product slips, right? Or they go, wait, like, well, we're not going to offshore because that work quality is going to be too low. And then their cost to actually serve their clients is too high.
Right.
Right? Or
we've done that.
Yeah.
That second thing. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
It happens. Yeah.
So there's a balance. The getting young people interested in accounting is tough. I think there's, like, a lot of rules that people need to start breaking. Mm-hmm. Like, people should pay their dues, but if you have someone who's young and they're a star, get them moving.
Yes.
Get them promoted. Get them challenged. Like, don't just say, I'm gonna be honest, like, that pushed me out of my first job. Like, I have to wait with all of my peers, even though I'm doing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to wait. That's the rule. Never mind. I'll go somewhere else where that rule doesn't exist.
Right.
Right. Or, you know, you have to wait this much time. So breaking those rules. And I've seen people do cool stuff where, like, they're getting their young people interested in technology. Hey, you're 25. You're showing that you want to go above and beyond. Why don't you go find an app that you think is going to help you and your peers?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Give them that challenge, get them excited, and change that it's not just you're a data entry person into a Google sheet until you pay your dues for 20 years, then you can make a lot of money, right? That whole, we have to tear that down, mm-hmm. soup to nuts. And I think all of these like mid-size and even small accounting firms that are popping up are doing a good job of changing that narrative. I don't know if Big Four is ever going to catch up, though.
Yeah, that is going to be tough to see. Jesse, thoughts on that? I've got a billion, but want to give you a chance.
You know, I think that, right now, and this was true when I came out of school too, the idea that you can become an entrepreneur and start a business was a very powerful motivator. I told you, I fell into accounting. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And the reason I went to work where I did was that the founder was someone that I aspired to be like. I said, this guy's an entrepreneur. He's got a lot of different businesses. He's been successful. I want to do that. He needs an accountant. I'll be an accountant. And I think that's still, people aspire to be their own boss, right? To build something. And at the beginning, the fact of the matter is you just don't know anything. Your schooling doesn't really prepare you to start a business because you don't know enough about the business problems out there that you can solve.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell young people, this is why accounting is interesting. Yes, the subject, if you can get into debits and credits and the actual, you know, the art becomes exciting, as it does, I think, if you really go down the rabbit hole, that's great. But also, as with, say, law, maybe even sales, right? It's a portable skill that gives you access to almost any discussion in the business. If you do well at your job, you're going to be involved in the highest level discussions because people want to know, can we afford it? How much cash do we have? You know, how much runway do we have? Mm-hmm. You know, how high margin is this? You're in those conversations, which means you're hearing about real business problems, which means you're accumulating ideas. I always knew I wanted to start my company, but I didn't really do it because I didn't know what to start, you know, until 10 years into my career, 10, 15 years into my career. So I try to get people interested by saying, you got to start somewhere. This is a really great place to start.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. I think, but to Tom's point, we do need to move a little quicker in the direction of exposing younger staff members to advisory work and the like sexy stuff, right? And the fun stuff. And I remember just pushing and pushing and pushing to, because I fell in love with tax planning and the idea of like just magically creating money for people, you know, because I didn't grow up with very much. And it was just this amazing concept, right? But even, you know, I worked at Deloitte for my minimum time and then went to a smaller firm about 25. And at both places, they were always trying to push you back into, you know, that senior level position or whatever and not giving you those opportunities. And that really needs to change. It's really scary to me that the AICPA right now is stuck in an argument over whether we have to have enough credits for, you know, to become a CPA. Well, good luck with that while no one comes into the profession anymore, because you don't need to be a CPA to do half of this stuff anymore. And no one seems to be talking about that topic. And us being kind of three CPAs, I love my credentials, but I'm seeing a little less and less of why that really like makes me stand out. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
Jesse, you go first.
No way.
I mean, I think my CPA, this is going to be bad, Jesse, you're not going to like this, is worthless. It's three letters.
I
should have gone first.
Mine, like I've used it so little. I mean, it just shows that.
You're saying like the subject matter, dude. I think you sell so much more effectively to accounting firms.
Fair. But I'm a bad
because you have a CPA.
Okay, but I guess here's what I mean. There are people out there that don't have a CPA that are 1 billion times better at accounting than I am, right? And like that's the truth,
yeah.
Right? People looking, like, you're a CPA.
He's not very good at accounting.
I don't know. I'm not good at it. I'm not. I'm good at learning and taking tests. So that, I know that's a hot take, but like it's true. You don't need to be a CPA, and you can learn accounting by getting your. To me, someone who learns accounting by doing it with like an MIS degree or some sort of information computer systems degree.
Oh yeah, that's
that person
cool. Yeah.
Is so much more attractive than a person who just has their CPA and just knows how to do things the old school way. That's my take. So sorry, Jesse, you could have gone first.
No, I just have to ask, Jackie, does anybody ever tell you that you look a little bit like Lily Vanderwoodson, the actress?
I don't know who that is.
All right, I'll send you a link afterwards. I think it's a compliment.
Oh, okay. Thank you. It not from God, that god awful show. What show is that? Is she in?
She was in, if you're thinking of god awful, she was in Gossip Girl. Is that a god awful show?
No. I'm totally thinking of a different show. Okay, yeah. Okay. We'll look that up.
I like
on the
Gossip
side.
Girl.
Yeah. Right, okay. But thank you in advance for that compliment. Okay.
I mean, don't thank me yet. You might look her up and be like, what?
Oh Lord. Okay. Well, what's her name again?
Lily Vanderwoodson.
Yeah, Jesse, this is
off topic. It's off topic.
Everyone's in their car driving to work right now, and you're asking the host to look up on their phone a person they don't know about.
I'm sorry.
This is impulsive. Professional podcasting.
Hey, you said it, Tom, right? Like, you want to try something, just try it.
I agree. It's fine. Listen, take a small step. If you fail, it's okay. This one's a fail.
Total squirrel there. Total squirrel. Okay, still couldn't find her. Everything came up for Blake Lively, though, of course. So,
there you go.
Yeah. Okay, back
before
to
we move off that point, you said something great, and I don't want to be a doomsday person, but you're like, we need to move faster in doing that, right? And into getting people interested in accounting, right? I think people are already doing it, right? Like, there are people moving quickly. And I say this in all honesty, it's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be 3 months from now. But if you don't make your young accounts happy, somebody else will. If you don't automate your clients' processes, somebody else will.
Yeah.
Like, I talk to these firms, and there are firms out there that are dead set on getting the best talent and taking all the clients because they're just, hey, we're going to do what everyone's not doing. So, again, I'm not trying to be a doomsday guy here. I'm not saying it's going to happen
but
tomorrow.
You are. But
people are out there making moves. So,
yeah,
make the moves.
Okay. No, that's
make
fair.
Make the moves today.
So, Jesse, what's your perspective on the CPA credential since, you know, Tom really dominated this conversation around his doomsdayer stuff?
You know what? I'll say the same thing that I'd say about an MBA credential. You know, both of the, I pursued the CPA 10 years into my career when I was starting business school. I didn't really know what I wanted to do still with my life. And I thought, well, I'm an accountant and those three letters and these other three letters mean something. They're a shorthand. And, you know, I'd heard, hey, there's a 50% failure rate when we hire, you know, where I was at the time, which was the D.E. Shaw Group. People told me, yeah, we typically want to see that CPA because we know that you've kind of, you've jumped that hurdle. And I agree. I mean, I'll be honest. Sometimes I still remember things that I was studying in the Becker books to prepare for that exam.
Oh, yeah. Becker was the best. Still,
I mean, like,
what were those guys' names? Did you have those guys? They did the videos for Becker.
I had tapes. I don't think I had videos.
Oh.
I had.
Oh, yeah. I just remember the book.
I had a physical book that you read plus an audio companion.
Mm-hmm.
This was like 2010.
Oh.
Yeah. But I think the credential is inherently valuable. I think the knowledge is good additional preparation. Like some of the classes that I had to take, complicated mergers and things of this nature, it's good to test your problem solving ability. So I think it's valuable inherently. And also valuable for the status that accrues to you with it.
That's fair. Okay. I want to talk about your take on AI and the evolution of, learning models and that kind of thing over the last year that we've seen significant change in. First of all, Jesse, how, as being a software developer and accountant, how do you explain AI to people and, you know, what types of AI you're using versus what is not available to the mass public, stuff like that?
I mean, that's a great question. I won't claim to be an expert on large language models. You know, I've had some exposure to machine learning.
Okay.
But the gist is you're taking a lot of data that went before, and then you're trying to take some new data and saying, hey, how can I apply some patterns that I see in this older data to what I see in this newer test data?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the tax research example feels like a really strong application because there's so much discussion of tax problems. And it's written in English,
yep,
as opposed to being locked up in process or numbers. Right. I haven't seen AI do as well, right? Like even solving a complicated math problem that requires some nuance as I have, right? It's I don't want to reduce it to a very powerful Google search. That's not what it is. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's using lots and lots of data to try to give you a quicker answer on a very small set of data that's reliable because there's so much precedent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. That's a good way to describe it. And so are y'all using any kind of natural language processing in your products or any kind of AI whatsoever?
Not in our products.
Okay.
Nothing that's released. You know, we're using some machine learning. I don't think I would call it large language model incorporation.
Mm-hmm.
In things that classify expenses, for example, that recognize, you know, that on a credit card charge, Starbucks, ... Apple Pay
yeah.
is actually just Starbucks. I don't want to create a new vendor in QuickBooks for it.
Right.
So we're using some machine learning. You know, machine learning is accessible to everybody. There are Python modules that can easily give you the tools to do it. But, you know, look, I think it's a very, very exciting development. You know, I'm not going to lie. I think a lot of people are putting it in their company name or in their pitch
mm-hmm.
to try to get a more favorable valuation when they raise money. But there's no doubt in my mind that it is changing the world and will continue to do so. We're using products, you know, that are saving time, note-taking applications on video conferences. You know, some people are going to get it right. So it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal for spreadsheet help. It really is. But you have to know how to use it. You mm-hmm. do have to know how to, but anything language-based is, like Jesse said, the best way to use it right now.
I think Tom often says this, like, your job's not going to be replaced by AI. It's going to be replaced
by
an accountant or a software developer that is using AI.
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't be scared.
That comes to mind probably at least once a day to me. You know, the president of the AICPA at a thought leader panel said that last year, and it just keeps sticking in there. Like, you won't be replaced by AI, but you will be replaced by someone using AI. So you better keep up, right? Okay, well, that's cool. I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned earlier what you kind of insinuated what you've come up with for these QuickBooks solutions is not rocket science, but people don't believe it's possible because for some reason Intuit can't do it. Which, I mean, they're just such a huge corporation, right? And so it takes them, what, 4 years to do something you can do in like 4 days. Is that how you would equate it?
I mean, I'll take it a step further. I mean, Tom was about to say something, so now I'm definitely not going to give him a chance. But there's, I think Intuit's really, really strong strategic move around the time I was starting FinOptimal was to really blow out its API. They decided we're going to be an accounting platform. We want third-party developers to build things that are more quickly and better than we can do it ourselves. You know, that there's no doubt in my mind that really helps solidify their dominance. I mean, being dominant in QuickBooks Desktop already was certainly a big help. It's a great brand. But I think they've done an excellent job. I think they have a delicate balance to preserve of, hey, I don't want my third-party developers to think that if they have a hit with an app they build, I'm immediately going to imitate it, right, and try to shunt them aside,
mm-hmm.
right? Companies like us have to at least imagine there's a possibility that they're going to have such success that an Intuit or somebody like them will want to buy it.
For sure, like, yeah, and we've seen that a lot.
Intuit does that.
Yeah.
Right? ChronoBooks comes to mind. They had a great QuickBooks backup utility that Intuit bought and incorporated into QB Advanced. DataDeer is another one. There's, you know, so I think they could, if they threw 50 developers at it, oh, wow, Accruer, that's what we should have done with our deferred revenue. Somebody put 50 developers on that and build that before FinOptimal gets too big. You know, they could do that. They could kill us if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But I think they are invested in the platformization that's going to be good. That's better for accountants.
Mm-hmm.
I also think Jesse's humble. He said I was being humble before. Like, this isn't why I came to FinOptimal, but it is why I'm staying here and why I believe in it. I truly believe that, like, the combination of Jesse's engineering prowess and all of his accounting expertise gives us this advantage where we can move so quickly on new accounting automation, not accounting practice automation, right? Like, we don't do tax. We don't know tax. Would never even in a million years throw a hat in that ring, right? we're pretty good at running an accounting firm. Our organization could probably be a little better. We're not going to build practice management. But when you go, hey, can you build an app that does this, but also that, and considers all these other things? Jesse, I think, knows it so well. And getting an accountant who can communicate it with an engineer and having that back and forth is what slows other people down.
Oh, right? Yeah.
For me, it's, Jesse, can we do this? Yep, I know both sides of it right now. I'll go do it tonight.
It's a huge competitive advantage. That's amazing. Yep. Yeah. Was there something else, Tom, that you were going to say about a part of our conversation earlier?
No, that Jesse just said, thanks, Tom. So, like, genuinely, I think it was the first nice thing I've ever said about him on a podcast. So just take that
really?
Nice moment. And we bully each other.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
He was talking about maybe our organization could use some work. I know he was about, we don't have enough time. So we're like, we need a new CEO.
Oh, no.
Organization is good. I need a new boss.
Boo.
I would never say that.
He's like, it's great, except I should be the boss.
Right.
No. Too much pressure.
Uh-oh. He's getting hotty-totty over there. Gonna come for your job. Okay, so tell me about this podcast y'all do and all this fun that you seem to be having over there.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to talk about it, Tom? Are we out of the non-disclosure period?
She's asking about our current podcast, not our previous podcast.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, we can't talk about our last pod. We started a podcast called Not Another Accounting Podcast.
Okay.
We sold that one.
Gotcha.
Now, can't talk about it.
Oh, okay. Is that the one that you had in, you joked on LinkedIn that you sold it after 3 episodes, or was that totally different?
Oh, I started it as a joke, but we did sell it after 3 episodes.
Wow,
I can't talk about it. But then we started another podcast.
Okay,
that was called Not Another. Yeah, so that was Not Another Accounting Podcast.
Okay.
Now we have another Not Another Accounting Podcast.
Oh.
So that's our current podcast. And we have another person on our team is on it. Honestly, it is just a way for Jesse and I to kind of get our unique takes out there. Like, we like to have fun with this, of course.
It's how we unwind at the end of the day.
Yeah, but I think Jesse and I, like, one, we banter. We come from, like, two different kind of backgrounds in a way, but have a lot of the same interests. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we really are pushing the boundary of what it means to be a tech-enabled accounting firm in QuickBooks Online. We really like to embrace technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have deep discussions about that go beyond, like, here's another third-party app. Do we like it or not? Like, we talk about why we build things a certain way, why we think about things a certain way, what apps we like and why we like them from a technical perspective. But at the same time, we try to keep it as human as possible, because at the end of the day, you have all the tech in the world. You still need accountants. You still need people.
Mm-hmm.
And happy people work better. So, you know, we like to try to bring a little bit of our own spin, if you will, to the accounting podcasting world. Yeah, and that's what another Not Another Accounting Podcast is. So,
all right. Apparently,
we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah, okay. My team did not warn me about the NDA situation or whatever, so I'm going to have to get... someone's fired. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I know. I like not being able to talk about it, so it's fun when somebody...
Yeah, it sounds very, like, mysterious, right?
Next year, we'll be able to talk about it.
Okay, so. Cool. All right. So as we kind of end with our last few minutes, let's talk a little bit about the future of the profession. You've kind of danced around what problems you see in it, who you think is going to succeed and not. Anything else that you want to add as to what, like, the future of accounting looks like? I'm going to let Tom go first on this one.
I already kind of did my doomsday. If you don't,
yeah,
the future of accounting
doomsday
is someone else who's going to make people happier. You're going to take your people.
Okay, so Jesse, let's hear the positive spin that you have on the future of CPAs. Here we go.
I think it's very, very bright. I mean, I think right now that it's so hard to hire is, I think the CPA of tomorrow is going to have tons of help from offshore resources who want to learn how to be a CPA here. They want to learn English. They want to learn, you know, operating accounting skills that they get by doing the work for you as a CPA. And you're going to be focused on the strategic, right? You've got to know the operational stuff, but you're going to know the strategic and have more resources at your disposal. And you're going to get paid more. Like, I am not concerned about people being uninterested. I'm not even concerned about the 150-hour rules, because when it gets too scarce, the market price goes up for that skill set.
Sure.
And then people say, I'm going to be an accountant. Definite job, making bank. tell me, where do I sign up?
Yeah.
I have a positive take, actually, Jackie. I want to end on a good.
Now that I had a positive.
I'm not a doomer. I just had one scary thing to say. I think that, like, when I, you know, technology wasn't pushed or appreciated so much when I started my career, and Jesse, when you started your career. Now, if you're a young person graduating from college, firms know, I got to get smart, I got to get tech savvy. So you're walking into a situation where it's much easier to sell your boss on, I have some tech experience, can I try this? I think people, even the more old school accountants, are much more open to people trying new things like technology. And also, I think, like, when I graduated, you had to wear a shirt and tie every day, tuck in, business casual, right? Like, more companies now are like, be yourself, right? And I think those are two really cool things that are changing about the industry. So I think the future is bright, because as more people kind of grow their own firms and hire based on their culture, like how Jesse has done and how you were doing with your firm and how so many other cool people in the space are doing, I think it's going to, like, overall rehabilitate the image of what it means to be an accountant.
Yeah, that's a nice way to look at it. I like it. Okay. Now, how can people reach y'all if they want more information on what you do, or what social networks do you tend to hang out on?
LinkedIn, for sure.
Okay.
You can look up Tom and Jesse on LinkedIn. Tom Zettner and Jesse Rumfeld on LinkedIn.
Just Tom Phenomenal. And Jesse. You're that famous.
Tom and Jerry, but Tom and Jesse.
Yeah, we should make a shared account on LinkedIn. That would be hilarious. All right, we might do that, actually.
Okay.
Tom Zettner, Jesse Rubenfeld, FinOptimal.com. You can read all about us there. Shoot us a DM.
FinOptimal is kind of a mouthful, and so are both of our names. That's kind of a...
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
It'll all work
if
out.
If somebody wants to care, they'll find us. We're not that hard to find.
Right. Okay, awesome. That's great. And then I know, Jesse, you might have to hop off. Any final words? And then I'm going to mention a couple more things to Tom, if you don't mind, because I had it.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. Okay. It's really been a pleasure to talk to you, Jackie. This has been really fun. I'm sorry Tom had to join us. Necessary evil. And I hope we'll see you. Looking forward to attending your class at Scaling New Heights.
Yes. And I look forward to coming by your booth and having a lot of fun and laughs. So, yeah, it's been a pleasure. Y'all are cool guys. So thank you.
Cool.
All right. Now, Tom, I'm curious. I have to give a couple plugs here in case you're probably already familiar with these. But did y'all apply to be in the Accounting High bracket challenge?
Yeah, we were in it.
Awesome.
I don't know how, I forget how far we made it.
Okay.
Actually, we lost to zero.
Ah.
So that was tough. Yeah. And we were going to, if we won the whole thing, we were going to donate a ton of money to charity, but zero beat us. So way to go, zero.
Okay. Zero. Yeah. Go zero. Well, I got beat out by Avalara, and it's like, geez, you know, there goes us little guys and gals, right? But
tough. It's
cool that, like, Jason Stats and Right Tools are in it to win it today, actually, which when this podcast goes out, we'll know who won. But I think it's really neat that they are. So, yeah, I definitely want to encourage anyone that has an app to get involved in that. Scotty's amazing, and that whole thing is really cool. And then secondly, AICPA Accelerator Program. Have you heard of that?
I have not heard of that. Tell me about it.
Okay. So Tax Plan IQ was in it last year. They essentially give you a free grant and they get you out in front of everybody at Digital CPA and stuff like that. So y'all should look into maybe doing that with one of your products or maybe your company in whole. But it was a really great experience. Even though I have my complaints about, you know, some of the CPA stuff, that is really where I think they're shining right now, is where they do focus in on innovation.
Yeah, that's awesome. I have not heard of that. I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks again, Tom, for being here. Any final words from you?
No, thank you for having us. Thanks for putting up with us, I guess is the right way to say it.
Yeah, I like y'all. You're cool. I don't know if you have guests on your podcast, but I'd be happy to come and, you know, joke around and laugh a bunch and whatever. So,
We'd love to have you.
Awesome. All right. Well, take care.
Jackie, thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you you for listening to the Concierge CPA, hosted by Tax Plan IQ. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. If you are a successful accounting firm owner or influencer who would like to be on this program, please visit JackieMeyerCPA.com, JackieMeyerCPA.com to apply. Please share this on social media and rate us so we can continue our good work. Join our Facebook group called Accounting Firm Influencers, or connect with me on most platforms under Jackie Meyer CPA. Thanks for being accountable to transforming our industry today.